Call the August 8th, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call roll.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Warren?
Here.
Mrs. Kundig?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Cino is here.
All righty. Everyone had a chance to review our meeting minutes from July 11th? Yep. If so, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So
motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Hines. Question?
I have. On page 3, Amy?
Yes.
Mr. Snowden, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph down, stated he believed the hotel wanted to shut down for 2 months. I think what he said was he believed the hotel didn't want to shut down for 2 months. Is he here?
Page three.
I thought that it was correct what's in there.
They wanted to shut down work, not shut down.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
So maybe I could.
That's fine. That's fine.
I could add that word.
Okay.
To make it.
Okay.
Because it's not verbatim. It's
yeah. Okay. That would be great.
I could add that if that makes it more clear.
That's a grammatical. All righty. Motion been made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any board members need to disclose any ex parte communication?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You remember last month, good morning, Charles, you know, board attorney, we did receive some ex parte communication. Again, the procedure is very simple. If you do receive ex parte communication, give it to the clerk and just disclose it at the meeting. Say, I did receive ex parte communication. I gave it to the clerk. It's not going to affect my decision one way or the other. Here, I'm going to base my decision on what I hear here today. But don't give it to anybody else. Just give it to the clerk and disclose. And I think we'll be fine if you just do that.
All right.
You know, we're not supposed to be getting it to begin with.
Right.
But every once in a while it happens. And, you know, nothing we can do about that except to, you know, follow that procedure.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Any board members have any questions on that item? All righty. Any announcements at this time?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. We do have a few announcements, or at least two. Lien Review 1, they contacted me yesterday afternoon. They were unable to get someone to appear here on their behalf, so they're asking to, they requested I pull it from this agenda.
Okay.
So we're going to kind of withdraw that request for right now for lien review number one.
And is there any, there's no public notice or anything like that on lien review one? We have to continue, right?
You mean, do we need an order?
No, I'm saying other than just continuing it, we don't, there's nothing, I mean, you just put on the next agenda.
Right. Well, they're going to tell
me. Let you know.
Can,
okay,
yes,
great.
Yes,
fine.
They're going to let me know when they can. We're anticipating the next agenda, but they're from Canada, so they need to make arrangements for someone to be here.
All right.
And then the. We have one case that I'm aware of that is in compliance, actually two, that are not listed on the agenda. Number 8 is in compliance as of August 7th. That's CEB 071378, Michael Riley for 116 Village Lane. And that was August 7th. And then item number 15, case number CEB 081388 for J&J Investment Group, LLC, 944 West International Speedway. It's in compliance as of August 6th. I believe that's all that I know of.
All members of staff that will be testifying today, if you'll please rise to be sworn in.
Do solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Members of the audience, when you come forward to speak and address the board, please make sure that you speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. Any attorneys present this morning?
I don't see anybody here.
All righty. We will proceed according to our agenda. Lien review number 2, which is CB 1112134, property located at 124 Orange Avenue, Beach Property Investment Group, LLC. Receiver was Ted Sanders of Stillwater Companies.
Mr. Sanders, if you want to come forward and get sworn. Can you state your name, please?
Ted Sanders.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Sanders, we're going to hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
That'd be great. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Anthony Jackson. I'm the assistant city attorney for Daytona Beach and representative for the code enforcement division. The for business lien review number 2, CB 1112134 at 124 Orange Avenue, and we're here for a lien review. And as the board recalls, this case was a fire safety case where the fire inspector David Newell was the inspector. I'll start at the front end here and tell you that the position of the city is that there'd be no reduction, and I'll tell you why. The general history here is that this case was first noticed back in August of 2012. There was re-inspections done on October 1st and on October 26th. The board heard the case in December and told them to comply by December, and told them to comply by January 2nd, 2013. There was noncompliance. We were told to comply by February 6th. There was noncompliance. They were told them to comply by March 6th. There was noncompliance. They were told them to comply by April 13th. And if they weren't in compliance, that there would be an auto fine. The whole time, this was a property where there was a matter of great importance, that being fire safety. The ultimate compliance occurred on April 17th, with the appearance that the imposition or the threat of fine ultimately is what, hopefully what brought it to ultimate compliance was a diligent effort recognizing the dangers involved. But whatever it was beyond the time. It was more than generous with time, and this was a matter of great importance. And with that being said, the request of the staff is that this lien that accrued is not very high, and it's a reasonable lien and a reasonable penalty for the delay and the oversight. And in addition to all of that, of course, these numerous re-inspections and the involvement of the staff would be of great.
Was this the property that eventually had a fire?
Yes, this is the same property. Yes.
Another question. Is the only item that was not in compliance was the stairwell outside the fire escape? I remember that there were windows that didn't shut and doors. There was a second-story door or top-story door that didn't shut.
I would ask.
Are those in compliance now?
I'm sorry, I'll ask for everything's in compliance now.
Everything.
That's the general answer. But if you want, I'll ask Mr. Newell to speak to any questions.
As I remember when we discussed this case, we were overly condescending, is the word I would say, in allowing more and more time. And the windows wouldn't open, and the fire escape didn't work, and there were people living in there, and they kept telling us their problems about the contractor and this, that, and the other thing, and resulted in a fire. Finally, thank God there was no loss of life or the property wasn't burnt to the ground, but at any rate, I think we did, this is my personal opinion, we did quite a bit to help move this along, and they didn't move.
Did you have a question for Mr. Newell, Ms. Kundick?
Well, I just wondered if the other things were in compliance, but this is just about the fire escape.
Yeah, as Mr. Jackson stated early on, and I don't have the exact date in front of me, as far as the windows and numerous other items that were fixed before the CEB 2 came to you and they came here, a lot of other items were corrected.
Okay.
So all that was corrected. So essentially what was brought to you was basically the fire escape on the back. The door also in the, I believe, second story wouldn't open. That could not be corrected until the fire escape was done because of the way the door opened and the way the actual door opened onto the fire escape. So those coincided together. So they couldn't fix the door for the most part until the fire escape was corrected.
Any other questions for Stan?
One more. And since the fire, is the building occupied, not occupied? Has the fire damage been fixed?
I'll ask Ted to fix that. Essentially, there was minor damage.
Okay.
There was displacement of people in the place for, I would say, 24 hours, I believe the time frame was. And that was because of the fire and the no second fire escape. So they made corrections pretty extensively or pretty quickly to ensure that people could get back into their apartments fairly quickly.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Himes?
No, we're just here for the main work.
Okay. All right. Mr. Sanders, what can you tell us, sir?
Mr. Chairman, Board, Mr. Jackson, thank you. This property was cited back in August, okay, and I'm going to apologize for not being here. I had to be out of town for the March meeting, or I don't think we would be here today. This property is currently in the name of Beach Properties, okay, which is the current owner on this property. It was in the same name as Beach Properties back in August when this was first cited. Okay, so the ownership hasn't changed, and I want everybody to know that the ownership hasn't changed. I am the operations manager at Stillwater Companies Realty. We also are general contractors, Stillwater Companies Construction. We generally operate as either a management company or a receiver for several institutions, financial institutions, when properties are in distress. This is one of those such properties. The lender in this case, First Southern Bank, had applied to the courts of Volusia County for the appointment of a receiver. And they did that in the urgence of this particular code violation. Okay, not only was the lender not paying them, okay, as in many of the foreclosed properties, this property is basically in the process of foreclosure, and it currently still is in the process of foreclosure. The lender was not paying them. Then they realized there was a code violation on this property. Then they went to the judge, to the courts, and petitioned for the appointment of a receiver. This all takes a little bit of time. A court-appointed receiver is not, it takes 2 or 3 months to get a court-appointed receiver in place. I've got the signed documents here, which I had provided the city. The judge ruled on it January 4th. We did not actually get notice that the judge had ruled on it because there's some time that takes place. There's some administrative period between when the judge rules on it. He doesn't rule on it and then sign the paper right there and it's available to the public. It takes a couple days. If my timing is correct, he ruled on it, I know, on the 4th. We received the paperwork on the 7th, the evening of the 7th, actually. I was here, I believe, the 9th. January 9th was the January meeting. Not only had we only had the property under receivership for a little more than a day, I hadn't even seen the property till the morning of that meeting because I was working on trying to research this code violation. Okay, so the court-appointed receiver, which is what we are at Stillwater Companies, took this property over at the very beginning of January. Basically, on January 9th is when the receivership was taking place, and the judge ruled on taking this property to a receiver because of this violation. I can completely understand the life safety issues, but here's what happened after we took that receivership over. On the following meeting in February, I had the contractor engaged. we had the construction drawings into the city and permit it, and I had the proper and I had this improvement completely funded. And I had expressed that at this meeting. The previous owners, I'm just here to say there was basically no action on their part or very little action, but the windows had been replaced and there was a corrective action taken to the back door. Now, we had to adjust that because the way the fire escape was designed, we had to turn the door around. So there was the opening of the door was repaired prior to the February meeting, okay? That was repaired, but we had to then make a change because the code, the fire escape, the door opened one way as it in existing condition. And again, this is a hotel that's three stories and it's about 100 years old. But under the new fire escape design, the door had to open in the opposite direction. If it would have continued to open in the existing condition, it would have blocked the stairway. Where, if you will, if you go out of the fire escape on the third floor, the stairway went to your left. Now it goes to your right. I think that's right, or vice versa. But anyway, the door had to be rotated. So there was two actions taken on the door. One was correcting it in its current state. The second was having to re-correct it out for the new fire escape. In addition to that, that fire escape was in bad shape. Mr. Newell and I talked. You know, I thought initially, well, maybe we can do some repairs on it. As soon as I saw it prior to the meeting in January, I went, yeah, there's no repairs necessary. I mean, it's in bad shape. But we did have the contractor go out there before the February meeting and weld additional supports on that so that we could get this fire escape in better condition than it was. There was some concern about possibility on the steel plating for there to be somebody fall through in case there was a fire. We went ahead and, like I said, completely permitted it, had the contractor engaged, completely had it funded by the bank. Again, there was no revenues. This was about a $20,000 repair. This was not a five-minute deal. I've got an email from our on-site manager here, dated April 7th, Ted. They got the runners of the final steps on 4-6, and they got the rest of the parts and putting them in place today. It should be completed today. Now, it's correct that the final inspection and everything being 100% complete and signed off on was until April 17th. But there had been a great deal of effort going on our part as a receiver, as a court-appointed receiver in Volusia County. It was basically from the beginning of January, okay, I'll say January 5th, 9th or whatever, February, March, April. Over a three-month period, we engaged the contractor, got the construction drawings in, funded, and got it completed. Okay, now it's signed off on, it took a week or two to get it signed off on. But it was through the city's cooperation, we got the plans as quickly through the process as it was. After the building, going through the fire department and the fire marshal, they looked at the fire escape. Then it had to go to the building department. The building department made some adjustments. We had about a $2,500 additional cost for the adjustments. Okay, this thing has cost a lot of money, and it really, I understand that this thing hadn't been in compliance and noticed from August, but it was the receiver who took it over, and now we're getting penalized, and we're the only guys here who had stepped up to the plate and was able to get this thing completed in a three-month period. And we basically got it completed in a three-month period. I'm here to see if we can waive this whole thing because through the appointment of the receiver, and I know everybody was chomping on us to get this thing done, but there was a lot of expenditure, and I just want to make a note for the record. There actually wasn't a fire at the Bayview Hotel, okay? Through the construction of the irony in this, through the construction of this fire escape, there were some hot embers that created a smoldering. There was never any physical fire. There was a smoldering. And our manager went ahead and took the action. Remember, this is a 100-year-old hotel, 100-year-old building. He went ahead and called the fire department. Well, I love the news people were out here and said there's $50,000 or $60,000 worth of damage and it may never reopen. Well, we had everyone back in the place in 24 hours. And the only thing that was the delay is the fire department had come in with their axes, as they should have, and opened up some of the walls to make sure the smoldering was taken care of. There was never any physical flames. When they did that and you start opening up walls, the building department then gets involved and says, well, first of all, they pull the power. They pull the power so they're not hitting electrical lines, and then all of a sudden there's additional problems in the building, an additional fire through the electric. Once they pull the power and once they start swinging axes through the wall, you have to have a certified electrician come in and certify that the electrical hasn't been hit or damaged, or if it has, it has to be repaired. There was some items hit. There was repairs made. I had our companies, we deal with a lot of vendors, we had our electrician come in and redo those repairs, and with the cooperation of the building department, they inspected it. We had people back that night, so we basically had people out only one night. So for the record, there really wasn't a fire. There was a smoldering, and there was a call. And as far as I know, that's the only call regarding a fire or a potential fire that there was, and it was caused by the installation of this fire escape, believe it or not. But anyway, there was a lot of effort taken to get this thing done in about a three-month period, and we did so. So I understand the board being very aggravated over the period of time that from the time it was first noted to when it was completed. But it was the receiver who came in, and only since the beginning of January had we had, and over that three-month period, got it contracted for, got it permitted, got it funded, and got it completed. So there was a little more to the story than just an owner, which, by the way, once the receiver takes in, it's kind of like having children custody taken away. The owner has nothing, no rights associated with the property at all. The appointment of a receiver, we do everything. We hire, we fire, we collect money, we represent the property before the board. I mean, we actually act autonomously as a receiver.
Questions from the board at this time?
Yeah, Mr. Sino, who owns the building?
It's still owned by the
and the fine goes to the owner. It does not go to the receiver?
No, not the receiver.
Okay.
Owner.
Okay.
But he's correct that the owner has no control over it at this point. The receiver does.
In the management of
right.
it. And paying the bills, doing all that.
He collects the money, he pays right. the bills, he does the repairs, does the maintenance. There's nothing in it.
But the fine still goes to the owner of the property and not to the receiver.
If the owner's we have to pay everything. I mean, that's why I'm here. If it was going to be to those guys who hadn't paid their bills in who knows how long and hadn't responded to this accordingly, if it was them to pay personally, I wouldn't be here trying to defend it. I'd say they well deserve it because they took no action on it. But it's the receivership and it's the bank, and we've spent thousands of dollars. And in addition to that, I mean. That one day loss, we had to get people in rooms. We had to pay. We paid people. We gave them a reduction in cost. We had repairs to done. We had the electrician. It was quite an expensive and time-consuming effort to get that property back in after the fire department had come in.
You are reimbursed by the bank. Is that correct? They're responsible for the bills now.
A receivership works. The only thing we had gotten funded from the bank was the cost of that fire escape, because that was over and above what could possibly be funded through the revenue of that property. Okay, everything else is funded through the revenues of properties, through the property. But this was a hardship that we had to petition the bank.
So in terms of the revenue stream, you're the same as the owner. You're getting the income,
yes.
And you pay the bills.
Yes, we're paying the bills, and we're paying the. I mean, this property, the bed tax, okay, I mean, there's a lot of revenue coming into the city. I mean, it's only a 40-unit place, but yeah, we pay everything, including the staff, to operate it, maintain it, and, including the contractor and everybody else. So that's why we're here, through the receivership.
At the time this property is finally finished with the bank, you no longer have a part. You're done.
That's correct.
Okay.
And one more thing, we hadn't gotten notice, the receivership nor the property had gotten notice of this. I would have been here before this meeting, so this was discovered, there is an interested buyer in this property. This was discovered through a title search that there was a lien on this, and I said, you're kidding me. I didn't realize it. Again, I wasn't here through the March meeting, and that's when the lien was imposed, if you will, starting, I think, on April 4th. So, and here we are. We had this thing well in progress by April 4th and just a final inspection on the 17th before it finally got inspected and signed off on.
Ms. Himes.
Mr. Chair, even I read you were instructed that if you did not appear to that meeting that it would go on. So you were aware that there would be penalties by not showing or having someone appear to that meeting.
What meeting is that?
That was the March.
We did have the general contractor. The contractor, Bo Harklin from Intercoastal Construction, was here.
Correct me, Mr. Chair, on this. It's one of the dates that no one showed. But the main thing here is even with being receiver, when you're a receiver, you receive everything that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. The good and the bad. We received the good and the bad, and I just want to point out to this board that there was nothing we could have done until we had that court-appointed action to move forward. So, I mean, the resulting is we're paying the penalty for the non-performance of the owner through a five-month period. Then we land here, and could have gotten a penalty right away and going, we hadn't even started yet, but once the receivership was in place, we did get the work done as quickly as we could physically get it done through the cooperation of the contractor. The issue is now everybody knows we're having a little bit of surgence in the economy. The contractor was busy. He had contracted for that months earlier in an attempt to try to work it. The previous owners or the owners hadn't funded it, so he had moved on and taken other jobs. So he wasn't waiting around just to, you know, be prepared to build this in case this was going to happen. So we had to get it back into his schedule and get it completed.
Mr. Sanders, just so you know, I think I'm at liberty to speak on behalf of the board and letting you know that we always work with those who come before us. And I know one of the challenges for me is the ownership has not changed hands. The owner is still the same. I understand you all are the receiver, but the ownership hasn't changed hands. And with the owner ignoring the initial citations by the code enforcement presents a very huge problem to me as chair, especially when we consider that a lot of these were safety issues in the hotel. I commend you all for coming on board and fixing the problems, but that does not relieve the owner for ignoring these life safety issues when they were initially brought to their attention. I just wanted to say that for the record so that you understand we're not in the business of penalizing people who get jobs done. We want to make sure that everyone in Daytona is safe, more so the residents in any of our buildings are safe. And so, with that being said, but just wanted to go on the record so that you understand that the position of the board is not to just, rake in the fees, if you will, but we have to make it known that we take life safety issues very seriously and making sure that people are safe in any of the buildings in Daytona Beach.
As we do as well, as
yes, sir.
Our action yes, shown.
Any other questions from the board? Any motions?
I motion that we accept the amount of the lien presented.
Motion made to leave the amount of the lien standing at $35,63.45. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded. Any discussion?
If I can just have a clarification, is that the final amount with the interest, or I'm just
35 to 63 45. Mm-hmm.
That's
August 8th. Mm-hmm. That's August 8th. That's what I. All right. Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Against it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you for your time, Mr. Sanders. All righty. Lane review number three, special magistrate, I assume SMG stands for, which was 11-12-76, property located at 141 Point O'Woods Drive. Renee Forbes and Bessie Forbes. Are the respondents present? Ma'am, if you can come forward, identify yourself and be sworn in, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Frankie Davis. I'm the real estate agent for Mrs. Renee Forbes, who was not able to make it today.
Okay.
Could you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Frankie Davis.
Correct.
Ms. Davis, we're going to hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Hello, this is lien review case again and for the property at 141 Point of Old Woods Drive. This case, and just from the request itself, we syndicated there was some problems that we acknowledge, and our biggest problem is always when we have an unmaintained and unsecured pool, which is what we had in this situation. However, there were also other circumstances that the inspector acknowledges and recognized, and based on all of the circumstances, the inspector is recommending a reduction of the lien, actually, to $3,000. And the inspector's John Stinson on that case, and he's here to speak to the issues that leads him to be willing to mitigate this situation.
All right. Prior to Mr. Stinson coming forward, let me just ask a question preliminary. Ms. Davis, would you have a problem with the fine being
$3,000? Yes.
Okay. All right, Mr. Stinson, come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This violation came to us as a citizen's complaint. It was a dirty pool. It was also unsecure. The property was vacant and for sale. I had some difficulty getting a response from the previous owner, the realtor, management companies. But when I did finally get a hold of the new realtor who was selling, everything came together relatively quickly, and the violations were corrected. The pool is clean now. It's secured. The screens are repaired. All the violations are corrected, and they're ready to move forward. We're recommending reduction from the $15,000 down to $3,000 because of the quick response after we finally got contact.
Can you tell me what the dates were? Do you have those?
The final compliance date I've got is 7:30, I believe.
And when was the first noticed?
485. I'm sorry?
I just want to get this on the record. When was this noticed? August 5th, 2012.
Actually, September 25th, 2012. Date of first notification.
Last page. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was brought to the board November 13th, 2012. For the first hearing.
Any other questions?
Did someone appear then? Because we don't have this information because it's a special magistrate court. So did someone appear for the... All right. Did someone appear then? Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, it still doesn't say if someone appeared during
No, this is
that.
The first appearance. This is the
this
first
is
time
the first
someone
appearance?
Is physically here. Correct.
Okay. And what were the problems with notification?
Initially, the house was vacant. It was for sale.
Mm-hmm. Was there a sign, a realtor sign in front?
There was a realtor sign, but traditionally we go to the property owner,
right.
not the realtor.
Right.
So after the time expired of the notice going out, being returned, property posted, another time given for compliance after the posting, then we go to the registered agent, the realtor, and anybody else we could find
right.
to find some
okay.
action. When we did get hold of the realtor, everything came together.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I got a question from Mr. Jackson. It's kind of a new one on me. Why did it come back here as opposed to coming
right.
to special magistrate? Is there an ordinance that made it come back here?
No, I'll ask if
they
the board secretary can speak to that.
They requested the earliest meeting because it's scheduled for short
okay.
sale, I believe, on
okay.
the 16th of August.
Okay.
So
okay.
Davis
okay,
could probably explain
yeah.
better, but they were concerned
that's
about
it. Just we never saw one of these before. We get somebody
yeah.
else back to us.
Where you?
Usually we know the history of the case.
Right.
Before.
Right.
Yeah.
Ms. Davis, were you the realtor?
Hold on one second, Mr. Herring. I just want to make sure we're finished with staff. We're going to bring her up.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff?
If I can say, I think it's probably, in this situation especially, it probably is a good point hearing from Ms. Davis. As we see in the request itself, I mean, we had the challenge of dealing with the fact that the listed owners were deceased, and
mm-hmm.
so that always creates a little bit of an extra challenge. And finally, as we said, we know that there are some expressed hardships, so we'd like to hear them out.
Okay. Ms. Davis, if you'll come forward, please. Mr. Harrington, well, actually, let's hear from Ms. Davis, and then we'll give you an opportunity for questions. Ms. Davis, what can you tell us?
Okay, Mrs. Forbes went through a hard time. She had a death in the family, a parents, and a divorce. And as a result of that, she filed bankruptcy. And I listed the property in January, February. We had a buyer for the property, and as a result, later on, the banks changed. It was originally Bank of America who owned the property, and they sold it to Greentree. So we were ready to close in September. I think it was August, but when there was a switch, the servicer changed. It threw everything off, and we had to start all over again. So I had a buyer for the property early in 2012. But later on, since the change, we had to go through the whole process again, and we were ready now to close on August 16th. And when we did initially did the search, everything was fine, and you know we were ready to move on. It is a short sale. The owner had moved for hardship, trying to get another job in another location, and she was not aware of the violation. But when we did the search, the title search, we realized there was one, and that's when I started to contact Mr. Stenson. And actually, we had to do this. The buyer and myself were responsible for taking care of all of the repairs, the pool, the screening, just to ensure that the sale go through, because they really want the property, and Mrs. Forbes don't want the property anymore. She cannot take care of it, and we want to close. I've been working on this deal since last year, and I'm ready for closure, and I think the clients are ready for a cash deal, and we want to move on. But we did have to spend our finances to get it up to code. So that's where we are now.
Mr. Herring.
My questions were answered.
Ms. Davis, usually...
I'm sorry, if I can, too. We want to acknowledge as well that we don't really know exact date of the compliance. We just know that when they finally did this search, they gave us a call, and that's when we were able to put into compliance upon that inspection. This is another one of those where we weren't really called anytime. As he said, he never had any other contact.
Gotcha. Ms. Davis, the city has proposed reducing the fine down to $3,000, and you stated that you were not in agreement with that. What would you like to see the fine reduced to?
Well, again, the Mrs. Forbes is not able to afford to pay any of the fines. So if you propose a fine to us, then that means I would have to pay for it and also possibly the buyer to make this deal close.
Mm-hmm.
And $3,000 is sort of hefty for me to you know to pay. So that's why I was wondering if there is any way you can possibly reduce it. Because August 16th we'll be able to switch hands and the buyers will be they will be in control. And as I said, the home, they have some work to do to the home and the inside, and which will incur expenses. And I, in turn, as I said, I worked on this deal for 2 years, going on 2 years, and I hate to spend the end, all of my work, I mean all of my commission, on you know the violations, especially if I was that I was not aware of it before, because I could have resolved that or not have a violation at all had I known.
Well, let me ask more directly. Are you asking us to reduce the fine to zero?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Mr. Jackson, what are the fees that have been incurred by
city? Excuse me. With Mr. Garcia not being here, I'll ask for Mr. Stinson to speak to his time and effort and give you an idea what may be reasonable, looking as it relates specifically to his time and effort.
Physically, there was just a lot of back and forth, tracking down the right people to contact to get action. So longer than your average amount of time, but nothing crazy with the effort with it. It's just a lot of digging.
Mr. Davis, it's at the pleasure of the board to make a determination. I'm stepping out on a limb. If we met halfway and reduced the fine to $1,500, would that be something you'd be willing to accept?
Mr. Chairman, what about $1,000 then?
That's what I was trying to get you to say earlier. Respondent has asked for a reduction of fine down to $1,000. Is there such a motion?
I'm still having problems with dates. Do you want to do a motion first and then question?
Yeah. I thought he said there was no clear date.
There aren't any. He was saying there was no communication until she contacted the city when she did the lien research.
They were noticed. Okay, I just want to review the dates that we have here.
Okay.
They were noticed on one way or the other, whether it was posting or whatever, on 9/25/2012. The date of compliance is
August 5th.
August 5th of this month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So that's a looks like a whole year where the pool was not in condition and not secure. And nobody knew that?
As far as the process goes, like you said, initially you're going to go to the owner of record. You have to give them time after you send that certified. Wait for the certified to do whatever it's going to do. Come back. If the letter comes back, post the property. Give it more time. So, I mean, all of that takes a lot of time.
I understand. I don't have a problem with the process. I'm having a problem with the violation not being fixed when it's pretty obvious when a pool is not secured and when it's green and dangerous. And it looks like, whether the process is involved or not, that it was that way for a year and no one did anything about it.
That's correct.
Okay.
Until contact was actually made.
Right. Okay.
So are you saying that maybe city should have blocked it off, because he's saying there was no one he couldn't contact? Am I hearing from you right?
That's correct.
That no one was reached?
Yes. Until contact was made with the actual realtor.
I know we've had cases come up before, Mr. Jackson. What is the city's SOP when it comes to pools? And was the pool secure? I know it wasn't clean. Was it secured?
It wasn't clean.
I know it wasn't.
We're off topic at that point. The only issue in front of us today is the fine. The reason I'm hesitant to go down that path, Mr. Tierman, is that I don't want to cause the city to have any liability because we didn't go out and secure the pool. So gotcha. I don't want to go down that road.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So let's just deal with the money.
The fine goes to
my point
the owner.
Is that maybe some fine is in order because
if you
walk up to a pool, you can see.
And that's fine.
I'm not questioning the process.
Yeah, the fine goes to the owner, not to you. So you're going to have to pay, wait till the closing and then pay the fine that day, or are you just going to pay it ahead of time and hope for the...
No, I have to wait until closing.
Okay. So at that time, then you'll take over the fine. Because if it's not paid, you're not going to close your deal.
Right.
All right.
Can I also say that...
Yes, ma'am.
Can you just set up the microphone, please?
Sorry. Thank you. That there was actually another screen enclosure, a child protection. So the pool was really protected by the screen on the outside and also the child... Yes, correct. So that it really was protected.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. All right. All right. Just want to say.
So Mr. Chair was there...
Chair will entertain a motion to reduce the fine to $1,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second? Madam Vice Chair, if you'll take over. Seconded by Chair, and you can take from there.
All right. All in favor say there's been a motion and a second that the fine be reduced to $1,000. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed?
No.
Aye.
Okay.
What else? Can we have a roll call?
Yeah.
Ms. Himes?
Yes.
Mr. Bourns?
No.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
And Ms.
Koenig? No.
All righty. That motion failed. Back in the hands of the chair. Any other motions to entertain at this time? Just a reminder, city proposed reducing the fine to $3,000. The respondent asked for a further reduction, just for FYI. Any motions?
I'm making a motion that we... follow what the city recommends, $3,000.
Motion made to reduce the fine to $3,000. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
Nay.
Motion carries. Ms. Davis, what we've done is reduce the fine from $15,024 to $3,000. We need to add a caveat on there. Timeline.
Just for clarification, was that just one nay vote?
Yes.
Payable at closing.
Payable at closing?
Yep.
All right. Payable at closing. Thank you, Ms. Davis.
You.
Yes, Mr. Jackson.
Would you want an or a time period?
In case it doesn't close.
Okay.
Would it revert back to its original fee if it doesn't close?
Closing is within a few weeks, so we can give her, our standard will usually work with the client. Ms. Davis, if you can't close with 30 days, give you enough time to pay the fine so that it does not revert back to the
$15,000? Yes.
Okay. Payable at closing or within 30 days?
Whichever comes first.
I didn't have a problem with 6 days in this situation. Okay.
Whatever you want to do. Just want to make sure you knew that. I don't have a problem
with this.
Well, she's saying she did say
30. Mm-hmm.
I mean, can I change that to 60?
All right.
And if I can just clarify, recognizing that we're saying whatever occurs first.
I understand.
Is the delay to closing because of the need to get $3,000 together or something else? Allowing that small amount of additional time in.
All righty. Just to make everything in order, we will re-motion this. The motion on the floor, the same motioner and seconder, is to reduce our fine to $3,000 payable at closing or within 60 days. Mr. Smart had the motion, and Mr. Bourns had the second. Any discussion? Again, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All righty. Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much.
We will continue with our agenda on cases printed. Case number CB041342, Edward G. Mayo. Property located at 366 Lane Street. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The respondent present.
Take your time, Mr. Mayo. I didn't see you over there.
Greetings and all that stuff.
Good morning, Mr. Mayo. If you could step to the mic to be sworn in, please, sir.
Are you okay there?
Yes.
Do you want to sit down with the microphone?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Could you just state your name, please, sir?
Edward G. Mayo. Yes, ma'am.
Your right hand, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayo, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is case number one. The property at 366 Lane Street. This is the... before the board for imposition of a fine, the inspector is Ed Lopez. And the position of the staff is that this property is in non-compliance, and the staff is asking for a fine. The requested fine will be $100 fine, $100 per day, to a maximum fine of $10,000. This violation is tires, trash, junk, debris, roof, soffit damage. And I'll submit to the board the inspector, Mr. Lopez, for any further questions regarding that recommendation.
Mr. Lopez, when this case initially came to us, there was a lot of debris around the property.
Yes,
has property, any of it been cleaned up?
The property is still in the same state as the pictures you've seen taken back. No work has been done to cure the violation stated.
Mr. Mayo, what can you tell us, sir?
Well, I can say...
You can move closer to the mic for us.
...has failed to appear at the times when...
Move over a little bit closer.
...work was being done on the property and recognized the fact that something has been done when something had been done. So it's the eye of the beholder that is the problem. The American dream is a wonderful thing, but then when it gets to the point where it's no longer a dream and starts to shatter itself, then we get concerned. And if I look at your house and become disturbed, you look at my house and become disturbed, there is a problem someplace. And it is in the eye of the beholder. What can I say? We have done work. There's obvious something in process right now that if anybody had been by, they could see it. But here I am. No work has been done. I can't argue with somebody else's.
I ask you to look at those pictures and tell me.
Sir?
Could you look at those pictures and tell me?
You can look behind you to your left or right, Mr. Mayo, and just let us know.
That would help us. Has that material been removed?
The trailer and the trash cans up front?
The trailer is no longer there.
Okay.
And
the previous picture, that is that cleaned up?
No, that isn't cleaned up, but that is a purposeful thing to keep animals from being disturbed by other animals and fulfill their purpose of security. We have to keep them in. I've been to court once already because of my animals, and I do not wish for anybody to be harmed, but I don't want my security compromised either.
What, Eddie, what's the problem there?
Now, right, where their car is parked.
High grass.
Where their car is
high grass weeds to debris. You can
wait,
see the
wait.
Debris.
Somebody's talking. Okay.
No, go ahead, Mr. Mayo. Sorry.
Is the high grass been cut there?
No, sir.
Hold on, once the grass has been cut twice since my last appearance here. The.
Can you hold the microphone?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
do you got it? It's ready. It's loud.
Testing. Okay.
There is some tubing and piping in front of that car that is elevated above the tree line or the fence line. And if somebody had saw it yesterday or last week or 2 weeks ago, they would have recognized that something had been done, whether it was sufficient or not. And obviously, I climb up on top of my house anymore, and I'm not financially able to do any more than I have done. So I don't know what to say.
Mr. Mayo, again, the purpose of the board is to bring compliance to those violations as noted within our code enforcement charter, if
well,
you will.
May I ask one question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Give me 1 second. You can always ask whatever questions you have. How much time would you need to fix the problems at hand if the board was to give you more time?
I got up at 5 o'clock this morning to try to get down here.
Yes, sir.
Get ready to get down here. What it takes me, used to take me 15 minutes to do, it takes me an hour to do. And I apologize for having been born when I was, but I'm almost 90 years old. And so things slow up just a little bit and incapacitated to a large degree. That's the only thing that I can say. As I was leaving my house this morning, I was out going to my car, and my body said, turn around and go back, and I did. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to stand here. I'm not trying to appeal for pity or anything like that. I just want you to realize that keep living and we'll all arrive at the same point eventually. So things have slowed up and I cannot help them.
Mr. Mayo?
Yes, ma'am.
You had said we have done work. Who is the we you are referring to?
Well, I use pronouns collectively.
Okay. I'm just wondering. So you were the only person?
Well, I didn't mow the lawn.
Okay.
And I didn't move the debris. But when people come by, your friends, anything I can do for you, Mr. Mayo? Yes, go out there and do this and do that. And they do. And those are your friends. People who recognize the need and fulfill as much of it as they can. So that's the way it's been done.
One other question, Eddie. Could you come up and tell us when you last inspected it? And
I was there yesterday. I passed by. I had another inspection on Fulton, and I passed by the property. The property is still in the same state. It needs. I understand the gentleman is elderly. He needs assistance, someone to help him. But the time frame was given to at least complete most of it. The property is still in the same state as you see in the pictures.
Mr. Chair, if I can just say, the staff took put itself out early in this case and said that they'd make an effort to see if they could get some assistance. And they did. They went and they made contact with a sorority over at Cookman, who we thought would be able to become available. Timing was a difficult thing, and unfortunately, as summer came in, and so the staff went out, made an effort to try and assist Mr. Mayo. Of course, ultimately, it's still left for the landowner to do everything they can, and the property owner, and at this point, the staff just feels they exhausted the efforts that they could do, and here's where we are.
Are we getting complaints from the neighbors on this, or just staff-driven?
This was self-observed staff-driven.
So looking at the minutes from June 13th, Ms. Hartman made the presentation to the city, and requested continues for 60 days. 60 days is, I mean, plenty of time to clean up the problems there. To further continue is just dragging this on and on and on. And I don't think Mr. Garcia would be too happy about this here today.
That's Mr. Wilkins.
May I say something?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
This gentleman right here just said that somebody was supposed to come by and talk to the owner, and I am the owner, and nobody did so.
No, you stated that they tried to make contact with an agency, with an organization, to try and help you do some of the work.
But no organization.
Right? No, and that's what he was saying. There was an inability to coordinate the efforts for them to come out.
With the other people, okay.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what to say. There's nothing I can say except the eye of the beholder.
No.
What is Jen in my opinion must be jumping yours or vice versa.
Well, Mr. Mayo, just to save you a little, each of the items that we have mentioned to you are in the code enforcement ordinances, so it's not left up to the eye of a person looking. It's written in law as far as the violations that we have cited you for.
But a few years ago, it was not so long ago when I and two other people were the only people living on that street, and there was no problem.
Yes, sir.
Suddenly, the street has developed, which is a good thing.
Harvest, yes, sir.
They call it.
Yes, sir.
There was no problem then, and things are almost the same. I'm sorry about this.
You don't come.
And there it is again.
All right.
We're. I don't want to lose my property. I do not wish to be relegated to any kind of home or anything like that, because I'm not beyond the point of independence. I still drive.
Is this your homestead?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're not going to lose your property.
All right. Well,
no.
That's good. But if I have to pay $1,000 a day or $100 a day.
It's not going to happen. What the worst case scenario is, a fine to be placed on your property. They can't foreclose because it's homestead property, so I don't want you to have to worry about it, because you're not going to. It's not going to affect
you. Okay.
It'll affect your heirs, but won't affect you.
Any other questions for staff or the respondent? Staff has proposed a fine of $100 a day with a cap of 10.
Yes.
With a cap of 10. Is there such a motion?
I'd like to see the fine reduced, let's say, to $25 to $50 a day.
That sounds more reasonable and more realistic.
I think you all are negotiating.
I'll wait till you all finish negotiating.
God, the loss of power is terrible, isn't it?
Motion made to reduce fine the respondent $25 a day by Ms. Himes with a cap of $10,000, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Mayo, what we've done is the board has assessed a fine to you of $25 a day with a cap of $10,000.
until the property is brought into compliance. As Mr. Sino has indicated, this is your homesteaded property, so you don't have to worry about your property being taken. But if you should get the property corrected, please make contact with the code enforcement inspector so they can come out and note that your property has been corrected, and then you will have the opportunity, if you so desire, to have a review of the fine.
Well, when do I get notification of the possibility of some agency that can give me an assistance?
That's not something that we do as a board.
Okay. All right. He mentioned
it last time.
And I was curious.
Mr. Bryant was here last time.
Okay.
I think, just again, if I can just try and clarify for you, Mr. Mayor, it was just a generous gesture from staff to see what they can find. Oh. And so they went out to try and see what they can find. They weren't successful getting someone
to be found. Okay.
But, Mr. Mayo, really, if an agency do come, they will probably be taking away a lot of stuff. And that is in code with Mr. Lopez. Would help you with that. I know he's
a whole bunch of agents out there. Okay,
all right. I don't want to waste any more of your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anything without your permission.
What'd you say?
They won't take anything without your permission.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayo. Next case is CB041338, La Playa Ocean Waters, LLC, property located at 2500 North Atlantic Avenue. Today we're here for imposition of a fine. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Please come forward, identify yourself, and be sworn in.
Miri, Sine Miri, M-I-R-I. Yes, S-I-N. O-I. M-E-R-I. M-E-R-I.
Will you be testifying also?
Yep. Don Ziegler, Z-E-I-G-L-E-R.
Okay. Anybody else that hasn't been sworn? Okay, can you both raise your right hand, please?
I do.
Right, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. No disrespect, Miri. I'll be calling you by your first name.
Please do.
Just so you know. That's the one I was able to write down the quickest and able to get down. Mr. Ziegler is easy. Staff at this time.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're here on case number 2. This is the property at 2500 North Atlantic Avenue. The owner is the La Playa Ocean Waters LLC. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. It's here before the board for imposition of a fine. Last month, this was before the board on a progress report. And the board announced at that time that the position of the city was that progress was inadequate and expressed the necessity for major progress and said that major progress was needed. During that discussion, we had one of the building inspectors, both Snowden, who had requested an engineering letter and had informed the board of that. And that engineering letter has been received, and I don't know if it's been... And I know you'll need a moment to look over that, and so I'll pause for you to do that, but I would just give emphasis to the very first paragraph that clarifies that it is a report that's providing for temporary repairs and for protection of the public at this time, and it's not necessarily addressing all the needs.
Okay. While the board's continuing to review, Mr. Jackson, just want to make sure most of the engineering report is dealing with the railing. Is that the main line of the violations that are still in existence? Just want to make no. Okay.
No, it's far more extensive.
Okay.
I would venture to say we have the chief building inspector here.
Okay.
That it may be. Would I be fair to say the most imminent as it relates to public harm? Yeah, most imminent as it relates to public harm or life safety.
So the guardrail is the one that's more to public.
Yes.
When you're talking about the guardrail, could we go back to one of those pictures? You're speaking about what's now strapped. Is that considered the guardrail, or is that that new stuff that's up that we saw before?
Good morning.
That. Is that the guardrail?
This is the top of the guardrail. Excuse me. Good morning, Mike Gehrig.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Okay.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Are we only considering guardrails?
No.
No, no.
No, we're considering complete compliance at this stage, but this is just, yes, I'll speak to everything else as well as
no other
as soon as Mr. Brown's ready for me to continue. Looks like.
You can continue.
Okay, as if the board was to reflect in its own mind history or look back into the history of the minutes, you'll recall that this August 1st deadline was a deadline presented as by the violators, as a deadline where they thought they can bring the property into compliance. The position of staff and the position of the building official, and I'll bring him up as again to speak to these issues, is unfortunately, as we look at this whole job, here we are now at August 1st, and there's still a large job left to do. And some of it has to do with the fact that we personally felt that more work could have been done and should have been done on the front end, but nevertheless, we are at a point where there's substantial amount of work remaining. We feel that the time periods that you were told were more time periods that maybe the violators felt the board would want to hear rather than what it really would take. What we want is a complete job. We want it absolutely complete and the property in full compliance. At the prior meeting, if you were to look back at the minutes, there was even a suggestion that perhaps by December 10th, as there was the discussion then of the thought that we were not going to make this August 1st date. What we'd like to do is, I'd like Mr. Garrett to come up and give you his, you've seen the assessment. Give you his assessment of the status. I can give you a general recommendation of what staff would like to see done that will be related to his evaluation of the current status. At this point, we believe we have the authority to ask for the fine to be imposed. However, what we really want is the property in compliance. We want the safety done. We want the property in compliance. The recommendation of staff is, in lieu of fining them today, we will propose a timeline, requesting that the recommendations that you received in that report be completed within 10 days from today's date. Now, they may already be complete. We don't know, but they'll get it completed. I'll again, Mr. Garrett will come up and be able to tell you his feelings as to the time period, the ability to do that, but I can represent to you that the city staff believes that they have the ability to complete that within 10 days. Then the remainder, the actual repair of the guardrails, to be completed within 30 days from today's date. And then finally, the all the other Spalding issues, which is the reason why there's the support for the garage and everything else that's going on, all the other issues remaining to be completed by the February 2014 cutoff. The staff has reviewed, believe that, that's a reasonable time with diligence to do a complete and adequate job. Now, with that recommendation, we'd also be asking that, failing any of the deadline dates given, that this whole extension of time be terminated and a fine of $500 a day to be imposed, reverting back to today's date, to a maximum of $55,000. So that's the general recommendation. Or actually, that's a specific recommendation, but I still would like Mr. Garrett to come and speak to these timelines. Mr. Garrett.
Thank you.
Good morning once again.
Morning.
Any specific questions that the board has for me on timelines or anything dealing with the issues?
Part of the issue, this is a safety issue also, not just an engineering issue.
Yeah, I'm too far from. Is this a safety issue, not just an engineering issue? Is the public in danger of falling debris?
Well, falling debris is one thing. The actual railing itself, as you see here in the pictures, is the primary concern that we have. And if you go back to the report here that was done by the consulting engineer on July 16th, that was just provided to you, that was the basis of his report, to evaluate what's there, what is the hazard, what's there, and how can we temporarily fix that until the new railings are installed.
So they have stopped the potential for falling debris?
Yes, sir. Partially. Not totally. Now, on the back side of the building, you have continued falling debris. This is just the railings.
Is the public allowed in the backside of the building? Do you know?
I'm not sure. It's like
the pool area. Yes.
It's
so open. There's the lounges.
So it's still a safety issue.
Yes.
at what point? This question came up before. Does this go beyond us to actions where you all can take action on your own?
Well, of course, we're going to look to a Florida licensed design professional, an engineer, to evaluate. They have the tools, knowledge, skills, abilities, as you will, to fully evaluate that. I will say this. Mary has been excellent in staying in contact with me. When we initially met out there, it was paramount that I got across to him that he maintains that relationship with us. Let us know what you're doing, how you're progressing, and he's done a really good job of that. As far as moving at the speed that we would like them to, of course, that's not happening. When would we step in and do something? As far as we don't know what we would do at this point, other than isolate the individual areas for occupancy of the building.
Has that been done?
No, sir.
How fast could you do that?
We could do that ASAP, and again, we put this back on the owner and their representatives to work with their contractors, and again, this is the report that you have in front of you today to give us a temporary fix until they move forward.
Including a pool closure because of debris, the possibility of debris falling into the pool that people are using. You could do all of those closures, and the rooms where all these railings are.
Yes, we could. I mean, we could issue a notice of unsafe structure or area,
okay. And
we would clearly indicate those areas that could or could not be occupied.
I just want to make sure. Earlier you stated that on the backside there are still debris falling where the pool is, and you stated we have not acted to close that down. What are we waiting on?
I haven't been personally involved in that. Just hearsay, third party to me.
Okay.
So I haven't been around to the back. I don't know what the issues are.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Himes.
Are you in accord with the timeline that Mr. Jackson gave, the time frame?
I'm on board with that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have one other question. Maybe this could be for Mr. Jackson. The fine that might get reverted to, and capped at $55,000. Is that? I want to know how much the work, what an estimate might be of the work that's involved would cost, because $55,000 almost at this point doesn't seem like very much of an incentive to get everything done. It could be worth it to them to pay the $55,000 fine and not do any work. I
understand.
I don't know how much, what the scope of the work would cost.
Understand that thought, Ms. Kundig. The situation is that, as you may recall, we have a maximum fine on that's calculated based on a schedule that we have. The maximum fine that we'll calculate on this property based on the most recent property appraiser's value of the property maxes out at the $55,000.
Okay. Thank you.
But recognizing that is one of the reasons our suggestion is that we do revert back. I mean, that's not a common thing for us to suggest, but in this
right.
situation, that if it fails at any point, reverting back to this date has that sudden impact. And it, I think it creates a greater incentive to get this thing going. Of course, I'm operating with the thought of them having a great incentive anyway because of the need for public safety and the appearance of the structure.
Tony, does the timeline include the entire building all the way around, all of the balconies, so they have to be done in 10 days or stuck, whatever?
Well, as I said, the 10-day period is related to all that that's recommended in that report. Mr. Garrett, I would ask you, based on your review, is that something reasonably that can be done?
Absolutely.
Okay, and then the 30 days would be the complete railing repairs. Is that, again, what we're understanding?
Correct.
And that's a reasonable time for them to be able to accomplish that, 30 days from today's date?
Yes, it is.
So at the next meeting, if that hasn't been accomplished,
we'd ask to come back next month.
Technically, in 10 days,
it hasn't been accomplished.
Yeah, when I say 30 days, are we really 30 days or are we next cutoff? Because if we do that, then I guess we really want to talk to the cutoff following and check their.
Next cutoff is September 3rd.
Okay. So we would want to come back and evaluate that. A true 30 days is what you believe?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I'd ask that we come back, if you accept this recommendation, that you we would come back and review if indeed they failed at any point imposing the fine, which, you know, I'm saying that. Alternatively, because of where we are, we can just have the fine imposed, you know, automatically on failure of those deadlines, whichever way that the board chooses to do that. But that's the idea there, Mr. Harrington. And then in addition, the everything else should be done on that February deadline.
Any other questions for staff?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong calendar.
That's okay. It's the 4th.
It's the 4th.
I had you back.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Yes, Mr. Smart.
Taking a look at the minutes that we have from our last meeting, that they were first notified almost a year ago, August 23rd, 2012. So all these safety hazards have been going on since that time.
Can I ask just one other thing I didn't clarify, because that time really matters, and this has been a long time, and we've been working, you know, with this desire to get these things done. But as I mentioned, I mentioned that this everything else was for the February cutoff, but I didn't get clarification from Mr. Garrett, and I just want to make sure that the board is assured. One of the things that's important to us is we want to know that we're going to give them the time to get this thing done. So February 1 is the time, is a reasonable time for them to get every single thing done that we need done.
Correct.
And so when we lay out this schedule that says get it done, absolutely. And at any point, if there's failure, we're done with this. We want to make sure that we've given them an opportunity to really get it done.
Tony, again, I want you to, every single thing done about what we've talked about or what we also have not talked about.
Compliance as it relates to this case.
Okay.
All compliance.
Okay.
It would be February 1. I mean, the cutoff date in February.
Okay, we'll get to that when we get to motions. I just, going into a whole another year on some of these items is a grave concern of mine.
That's
with the railings being fixed now,
you know, I still have a problem going into a whole nother year for stuff that can be fixed. You know, and my question is going to be directly, you know, I mean, I understand that's the amount of time we want to give them, but do they need that much time? You know, just be prepared to answer that question a little later. Any other questions for staff before we allow Mary and Mr. Ziegler to come up?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm totally confused again. Now, I thought you said 10 days. 30 days.
10 days for everything in this report.
That's right.
30 days for everything regarding the railings.
Right.
And then February for the rest of the items.
That means the garage? Is that what we're
the
talking
garage.
About?
That's
everything.
What I was asking.
That's okay. Let's.
Everything.
But I thought the garage and all of this was under the 30 days.
No.
No.
Okay. So what you're doing now is just the railing. And then after this is completed, they will have until February 14 to complete everything, meaning the garage and all that.
Correct.
Okay. Mary, Mr. Mary, and Mr. Ziegler. What can you all tell us? Bring us up to date. Just so you know, my memory is not that bad. Last month, I encouraged, I don't think you were here, I encouraged you all to have us a legitimate update as to why progress had not been made, and to bring us an update on to when progress is going to be made in a timely fashion. And I believe, Mr. Ziegler, you were here when I made that statement. I understand Mary is here today. Mary, if you don't mind, I want to ask Mr. Ziegler this question directly.
Sure.
That was a statement that I made last month.
Correct.
And we're back here today.
Yes.
With the same circumstance.
Yes.
That we were at last month.
We've made some improvements, yes.
Improvements to the structure or improvements to the plan?
Improvements to the plan, the structure. We've continued to work.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Mary.
Okay. 2 days. Mine actually displaying a photo of the outside of the hotel. It's actually a photo of a, you know, from a distance. Yes, it was actually the first. No, that shows it after the parking garage. This one right here. You can keep it here. Okay, what's going on right now is that we're doing structural work where you actually see the orange fence. That is the parking garage. In order for workers to access the rails, they need to get on top of that parking garage. The engineer has prohibited, the engineer record has prohibited us or anyone doing work getting on top of the parking garage while we're doing a structure stability on the garage. We're basically running cables. It's a process called post-tensioning. It's a technical work, and that needs to happen. Basically, it's the intent that they use when they build bridges. They put in cables to stabilize the garage. So that work is right now happening, and that work is prohibiting proceeding on the actual guardrails. The rails, as you can see in the photo, is actually done on what we call the south wing on the top three floors. We stopped because of the scheduling with the parking garage and other issues that we had. We are doing the parking garage. When we finish the parking garage, which is estimated in about 10 days, that will allow us to go up again on top of the parking garage and continue with the rails. That was the intent why we hired an engineer, to give us a report what would be safe or not safe temporarily for the rails. And as he produced a report, he said, okay, it's specific rooms outside this room, that guardrail, you have to reinforce, and that's why you saw all those ties. That work was actually done. The city is proposing 10 days. I would say you can inspect us in a matter of 2 or 3 days, whenever you guys can get up there. The estimated time for the guardrails is that we talk in cycles. I'm a project manager myself in construction, so we talk in cycles. That wing of the building, that entire length, we call it one cycle. It's going to take about 10 days to do one cycle. It's about 10 cycles remaining. It's two wings to the building. The issue is that there is a certain amount of work that you can do reasonably and safe for the workers within that cycle. What basically happens is that we remove the guardrails. That exposes a very unsafe working condition for men. So as much as I wanted them to push, okay, go ahead, do everything in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, we cannot jeopardize the safety of the guys working there by, you know. There's also two inspections that city does. In every cycle that we do of those guardrails, there's two inspections the city has done. So that has added to our original anticipated schedule of 1 week. So 1 week per cycle has now up to 10 days per cycle. The second part of the...
Excuse me. May I ask you, how many workers do you have doing this job?
The post-tensioning crew right now is about four guys.
Four guys?
Yes.
Would it go faster if you had 10 guys?
The post-tensioning work, Mr. Harrington, is very technical. Is very few people. These people actually came from Mississippi. Is very specialized, a very technical skill. And this is a crew that has the foreman of, you know, he's 70 years old. He's done this throughout the world. So no, there is a nominal time and a nominal. There is certain things that you can push. I agree with you, but this is not what we call a production job. We have to be safe. We have to be technical. And it takes the time that it takes, as much as I wanted to push them.
You're saying there are 10 cycles, which would take 10 days. We're talking 100 days, not 10 days.
Yes, that's why we gave the December schedule.
Why is the city proposing you have it done in 10 days? That's impossible from what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we disagree with the city's assessment, yes.
If I can speak to that real quick. Just clarification, because you're right. When I said all balconies, mm-hmm. and what I was corrected to by Mr. Fitzgerald as well as by my building official is specifically the front balconies, which would be on that 30-day portion of the repair, and then everything else would be continuing from there. That, of course, if I think Mr. Cena would agree with this, if the board elects to give them an order, then that order needs to allow them the reasonable time to comply. So what we were trying to address was reasonable to comply. And so what I'm really speaking to when I say the 30 days is the front railings. And if that needs to be explained further, I'll ask
Can I make
Mr.
a
Garrett
suggestion, just as a poor little board mm-hmm. member? When you make a presentation and recommendation, you give us a chart and you diagram exactly what you're talking about. Because, I mean... There's been too many questions asked to find out that we're really talking about 100 days and not 10 days. And that would really help. Just give us a diagram. This is the exact area we're talking about.
And again, I'm not really trying to bicker or with you in any way. When we say the rest, we're still saying the rest. The only thing, the difference is when I said guardrails all, part of the rest was the remaining guardrails, not all of the guardrails on the 30-day. The 30-day period was only for the frontal guardrails.
Okay.
Just for clarification.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a comment at this point.
That would be fine. I just didn't want to cut off Mary from his presentation.
It was based on one of his comments.
If you don't mind, you can ask the question.
Go ahead. Whatever you want to do. I'll hold it, or we'll continue to listen.
Well.
Okay. You referred to the safety of your workers.
Yes.
My concern is not only with the safety of your workers, but the safety of the people in that are using that structure.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So that if it's not safe for your workers, it certainly can't be safe for the people that are staying there, no matter what they're doing. And I am kind of getting to the point where I am over this discussion, whether it takes 10 days, 100 days. I think the work needs to be done without the people in the building. Shut it down. That I don't have any more patience with this. This has been going on way too long, and it's a safety issue, and I don't want to hear any more cycle talk. I don't need a chart. I've seen enough, and I've heard enough, and it's been going on for too long.
I want to add, have you in writing a recommendation to the management of the hotel that they close the back pool area because it's dangerous? Are you going to wait? Are they going to wait till somebody gets hit and then everybody denies that they knew this? I mean, that if that is what you guys said, that's a danger, then that needs to be closed today. Not wait until you have an engineering report or 47 other actions taken. If those people at that pool are sitting there waiting for a concrete piece of concrete to land in their lap, somebody needs to put it in writing to the management that, I'm not saying that's your that you have the authority to do that, but you do have the responsibility of putting that in writing and handing it to management and giving it to the code inspector. So at least we have that on record in case something does happen. And at least that much will be protected. I mean, it's just got to be done.
Correct. Can I address Mr. Kundik's point first? Yes, there is. When we take the floor, we actually take the entire rooms out of circulation, and they're no longer given out to guests. So there is no guests walking through those corridors or those walkways. While the workers go in, it's all enclosed. They go in, they take the rails out. That's why I'm saying that we have to keep the workers safe. Obviously, the public has already been taken out because of we have taken those rooms out of. However, there is, again, two partitions that separate the public from the work area. Within the work area, where they take the railings out, so there is really no railings on the outside. So they have to tie in with the OSHA-approved vests and things like that. So that's what I'm talking about, that we have to keep the safety of workers while we're actually taking the guardrails totally out. About the balconies, I have not spoken about the balconies yet. Yes, there is... there is three big components. One was the parking garage. As a construction guy, we usually always like to start from structural work from the bottom going up. So that's why we wanted to push for the parking garage. Was compromised structurally. That's why we're working what we're doing right now. The on the other side of the building, there is the balconies. The balconies, we awarded the job, the contract to a general contractor end of June. That contractor withdrew from their contract. So right now we are in negotiations with the second contractor. The goal to start that work, our schedule calls for this month to start the balconies. In the meantime, we, on a monthly basis, we do a what we call safety mitigation measures. We go in each balcony. We have a log for every room and every date what they actually do. For example, room 521 on 719, they chipped and paint. They have to call... So you have keep specific records in what room they go in and chip. This is, again, temporarily until we actually start the balcony project. That is about our contract schedule calls for 9 months duration of that project. It's about $700,000 as cost of the contract. However, it is 228 balconies. Again, that is... It is a process that is going to take in order to keep the public separate from the work area, to keep the safety. There is, you have to set up the protections, then you have to break it down to move over. So there is also process construction, and it's a complex, complicated job.
But if you didn't have to worry about public safety, you could do more work more quickly. If you didn't have to move people around and make sure no one got hurt, you could, in fact, this building was shut down, you could go in there like gangbusters and get it done with the safety of your workers in mind.
Mr. Kunick, I actually still disagree with that statement. The nature of this work is not a production. You can go with gangbusters. You have to keep the building safe.
Right.
the worker
safe.
Well,
within those limitations.
So you have to be methodical,
right.
And you have to be
right.
Safe, and have to have an optimal production.
Absolutely.
You cannot just, because the supervisor will not be able to see on the other end what other workers are doing,
right.
And they could be doing foolish things.
I am not saying that you don't know how to do your job. I know you know how to do your job.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that I'm concerned about the safety of the public, and that while you're doing your job in one place
mm-hmm.
and not someplace else.
Correct.
So that if the work could be expedited so we could get this done
mm-hmm.
in a more timely fashion, then the building could be back open again mm-hmm. and fully rented, and we wouldn't have the concern, the public safety concern that we have right now. That's all.
In other hotels, we have actually shut down areas where we mm-hmm. felt it was not safe. Like we said, we do our due diligence. Are we going to catch 100% on the entire hotel, maybe a piece? The problem is that it's really a decision that do we want to shut down the entire area? And according to our engineers and to our assessment, is that by doing these safety mitigations, and while we're actually in the process of doing the construction, the construction separates the work areas from the public. So we did not come to the conclusion that the building is in that bad enough shape today that we have to close it today. While we'll actually work in 9 months, this work is going to be done. We have a contract. There is liquidated damages for it. And by the way, while we're doing construction, half of the area is going to be taken out anyways. And we're going to be starting, obviously, with what we call the northeast corner. That is the most compromised corner. That's where our main focus is. So that's going to be done first. It's about 2 stacks or 3 stacks, and that should be done in about 2 months, for example. So that'll take the higher risk corners or areas from. We are the hotel company. I work for Owens Hotel. I'm in charge of construction. We have huge liabilities as well. We feel that, you know, it's first of all on us that we have to make sure there is no issues, there is no safety on the public and lawsuits and everything else. So, yes, we have a lot of people, engineers looking at it, ourselves, and this is our position right now.
Well, the members of the board, again, I think we're going off on dead hinges again. It's not our job to tell them how to fix the place or what. The question in front of you have it. This is a hearing to impose fine. If you feel that he's not made the progress that he should be making, you need to impose a fine. The city's made a recommendation. Go with their recommendation. You cannot go with their recommendation. If you feel you need to give them more time, you can give them more time. But telling them what they should do or who should do, what balcony should be done, what balcony shouldn't be done, that's their responsibility, not ours.
Yeah.
So the question is, if we feel they're not doing their job quick enough, then you want to impose a fine. They can always come back for a lien review later. But if you feel they want to give more time, that's fine. Give them more time. But to tell them what balconies to do, what pools should be closed, who should be closed, that's their responsibility, not ours. If we're putting liability on us, we should be putting on us.
Well, my question is, should the building, for whatever the reason is the safety of the public. The city could be sued as well because we know of these conditions. My question basically is, should we shut the building down? I don't care how they do the work after that. That's not my concern. You're right.
But, Ms. Okay, again. Is it the chief engineer?
The chief building official would make. That's a decision, not a decision of the board. If I may, Mr. Chair, right, that's not a decision
of
the
that's
board.
That's what I need to know.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Our decision is whether to fight him or not. We need more time. Whether he closed the building, that's that man's decision.
Bear that in mind.
And just so the board knows, that was the reason I opened with that question, so that the board recognizes it's beyond us if it's a imminent danger.
Okay.
They don't have to go through us. The city has the authority to cease all activity.
Exactly.
If necessary.
Then we at least have it on the record in a public meeting that we are concerned about it. So if the city doesn't.
I believe that's definitely been reflected.
Okay. Bear in mind the fine recommendation. Could you really clarify your recommendation? Because it needs to be a lot clearer than it is. And
In all fairness, Mr. Harrington, we've cut Miri off a couple of times, and I wanted him to finish responding and giving his opportunity to respond to the board before we get into the question.
Mr. Chair, I think he's told us they can't meet that. They can't meet that those deadlines. They need more. They need additional time.
Okay.
The type of work, I think he's, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, they can't go ahead and put 20 people out there. They can only do one.
That's what I'm saying, Mr. Seymour. Okay. The way the recommendation was, it implies that it is going to be all done, and it's not. It's in quadrants. So could they clarify their recommendation?
Okay. And so that we can preempt it, if you will, Amiri, the staff recommendation was to give you 10 days to complete everything in this engineer's report.
Okay.
And Mr. Jackson, here's where I need your input.
Sure.
The staff recommendation was to give them 10 days to complete everything in this report. 30 days to complete what?
Okay, that's what we were just discussing, and and I don't even know if this
you're
doesn't
on.
Sound like I'm on. Okay. It may be a better explanation from the chief building official,
okay,
since I physically hadn't been to the building, and that may better explain the difference in the balcony issue.
Yes, just to clarify, again, the report that you have in front of you is for the 10-day Band-Aid, and again, looking at some of the pictures here, looks like some of that work has been taking place. So that's definitely a good thing. The 30 days that we're referring to is actually the front portion of the building where some of the railings have already been repaired from three floors down. That's the 30-day time period. And I do want to point out, Mary had made a comment about getting a contractor. We actually have a permit issued to a contractor for that railing repair, and it was a change of contractor. So he had the initial contractor, the contractor sent us a letter, he pulled off the job, and then a new one has come forth and has since been issued a permit for the railing repair only. So is 30 days adequate for the front section? I certainly believe that.
So 30 days adequate to fix the front section. How many sections do we have?
Sure. Well, we have, of course, we have an L-shaped building, and I don't know, we're going through these pretty quick.
Okay. Again, we have to go off of staff recommendations. And it was stated earlier, we were looking at a February, you know, final deadline. Brought up earlier, and you said you had not seen it physically, pieces of concrete falling in the pool area. Is that a part of this section?
This would not be part of the 30-day section. No, it would not.
Okay.
It would be part of the overall February 2nd compliance date.
Upon site inspection, if you saw that, you have the ability to do what needs to be done, correct, without our...
Correct, we do.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We need a motion.
All right.
Can I?
I'll make them.
Yes. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. About the comment for the 30 days. Again, the constraint here is the work in the garage. The work in the garage needs to happen. The structural engineer of record has prohibited us to going on top of that garage to work on the railings. We anticipate their work in the garage being performed, finished by next week.
Okay.
But again, that work, again, is very technical. It needs to finish before we're allowed by the engineer record to get on top of that garage in order to perform railing work.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, we stated a 10-day cycle, 10 calendar day cycle. For four floors remaining on that wing, that is 40 calendar days. That is what we've actually had in the past. That was the production, or that was the pace in the past. So, I mean, again, I hate to say, but it is what it is. I also want to make a comment about the switch in the permit. The reason that the permit was switched is that in May we terminated the general contractor. We were unhappy with the progress, and we terminated that general contractor. That general contractor, after they got a termination notice, the lawyers got involved, we took them back. However, that general contractor, they instead fired their own subcontractor doing the railings. So, yes, there is a change. The reason for that change was we were not happy with the performance. That's why the new contractor is there and he's done better progress.
let's clarify. Let's get this. Thank you, sir. Let's clarify. We got a recommendation from the city. 10 days on the list. It's 30 days on the guardrail on the south side of the building.
South side.
Never everything else.
Okay.
Well, he's saying, I think he's agreeing with the 10 days. They haven't heard, I've heard nothing against about the February date, saying disagree with that. The thing he's saying is that he needs 40 days after the bottom dump is done, the garage is done. So we're talking about maybe another 60 days to get the guardrails done. The question is, do you want to give it to him or not? That's the bottom line.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion.
He's been doing it, he needs to put a fine. That's the only issue right now, 30 versus 60.
Okay. On the south side,
right? The south side, right.
Gotcha.
He's saying he needs 40 days plus 10 days, basically he's telling us.
Okay. Ms. Kundick, you had a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to impose a fine.
Sorry.
Starting today, what?
$500.
$500 a day up to $55,000.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Do I need a second to ask a question?
Motion dies due to lack of a second. You had a question, Mr. Herring.
Would that fine apply only to the one to the one section? Or we
no.
No conditions. The whole thing. Okay.
Sucker.
So that is very nebulous. Okay.
Any other questions? Any other motions?
I make a motion that go along with Mr. Jackson's recommendation for the 10 days and for the February date?
10:30 in February.
And then for the other, we're saying that the 30 days isn't enough, that we give him 50 days.
Right. So it's 10:50 in February.
And specific
10 2 months and then
10 2 months, yeah, just do that. 10 2 months.
All right, let me state Mr. Smart's motion and then we'll take your you correct me if I'm not stating it correctly, and then Ms. Himes will take your second if I am. Motion on the floor is to allow the respondent 10 days until August 18th to bring the property into compliance with the items mentioned in the engineer's report dated July 16th, allowing the respondent until October 2nd, 2013, to bring all railings on the south side into compliance, and allowing full compliance with all other items of the building until the February date,
which is
the February 5th, 2014. Is that correct, Mr. Smart?
Yes.
And then if there's any these deadlines are not met, then we impose a fine, $500 a day.
And if the first deadline of 10 days is not completed, we will revert back till today's meeting to institute a $500 a day fine with a cap of $55,000.
If I can clarify one point, my request was if any of the deadlines, whether it's the 10-day, the October deadline, or the February 5th deadline, that it would revert back
okay.
at $500 per day.
All righty.
Can I make a comment? Oh,
hold on 1 second, sir.
Sorry.
There's no mechanism for bringing it back with that. Wanted to add progress reports, or so that order would not come back. It's an automatic.
Right. At this stage, Amy, just to answer that question, I think reports for the board would beyond our pay grade, if you will. I think we want to see it. Gotcha. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion?
Read the motion. We've got to have to.
Restate the motion?
Yeah.
All right. If you'll restate the motion, want me to do it?
You didn't get it?
No, I have it.
Oh.
Did you get it, Ms. Harrington? 10 days for compliance on the engineer's report, 60 days compliance on all items on the south side of the building, February, what's that date?
September 5th.
February.
October 2nd.
Yes, October 2nd. October 2nd cut off on the rest of the south side, and then the February date for the entire completion.
Okay. I think it's healthy to repeat a motion that long.
Gotcha. And if any items are not completed, it will revert back to today's date of the institution of a $500 fine with a $55,000 cap.
All right. Can I make a comment?
We're in the middle of a motion, sir.
I'm sorry.
Clear? All right. Any other discussion from board?
Yes. I'm concerned that if we don't have any mechanism to bring this back after we impose the fine, that $55,000, or if we have to impose the fine, that $55,000 may not be adequate.
That's the max we can
do. I understand that that's the max, but I don't know that if there's a way to bring this back. I don't know. It's fine.
Are you asking for a progress report? Ms. Kundig?
I don't know what good that would do.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not asking for a progress report, but I'm dissatisfied that we're giving them this much time and only imposing a fine of $55,000, even though I fully understand that's all we can impose. That's right. Why.
Yeah, that's we're
that's
limited in the amount of the fine.
That is correct.
Gotcha. Any other questions from the board? Motion on the floor has been properly made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. At this time, what we've done, Mary, is we've given you 10 days to bring the property into compliance with everything in the engineer's report.
Correct.
We've given you until October 2nd to bring all railings on the south side of the
south
building.
South Point, correct.
Into compliance. Mm-hmm. And we've given you until the February date I didn't write down.
February 5th.
To bring the entire project into compliance. At any point in time, more especially with the 10 days, if the property has not been in compliance with the items in the engineer's report, it reverts back till today.
Understood.
The starting of the $500 day fine up to $55,000.
Will I be allowed to make my comments about something?
At this time, you can make a comment, but the motion has been made, just so you know.
Okay, just for the record, I wanted to make this comment that Mr. Sino, he stated that he wasn't sure whether I made the case about the February date. The case that I'm making is that the February date is not realistic. It's unsafe. I wanted that comment to be made for the record. We're looking for 9 months from September 1st, and that's construction. That's real.
You have no argument from us if it's done sooner.
Love to, but it is what it is.
And that, you know, those are some of the timelines you have to work in. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your time. Thank you, staff.
How about a break?
Let's finish page two. Let's finish page two. All right. Next case, CB061356, James Joseph Rikiki, property located at 488 Golf Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing none, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Well, this is for a progress report and determination for a compliance thing. We're talking about the property at 488 Golf Avenue. The owner is Mr. Rikiki. Being informed by the inspector, Mr. Fitzgerald, that Mr. Rikiki has not made any progress. And we believe that he can comply with it by the next cutoff.
Okay.
By the next meeting.
Right. Am I correct?
If he would have started, he would have been able to.
Okay. Okay. That's the desire of the board that he that a compliance date be set for the next meeting. And
So non-compliance next cutoff.
The next cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Property's already been found in non-compliance, so we're allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
No.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. All in favor? Any discussion?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We will take a 5-minute break at this time. We'll resume at page number 3. The August 8th, 2013 board meeting. Code enforcement at this time, case number CB061363, Charles Shea, property located at 700 Winchester Street. Mr. Shea, you'd come forward and be sworn in, please.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Charles Shea. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Shea, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is the property at 700 Winchester Street, and this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Shea has made satisfactory progress here, and he has pulled permits, and the staff is asking to amend this to amend to the next cutoff date for compliance.
Okay. Staff recommendation is to amend till next cutoff. Mr. Shea, you okay with that?
Yeah. Yes. What does that mean?
That means that you'll have until September 4th to bring the property into compliance to be returned to us for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
Okay. Yes. It's almost done. I'll probably move in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Mr. Shea, have you applied for the rental license?
Oh, I'm going to be living in there, sir.
He's going to be moving in.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be.
Yeah, I got tested out before anybody could go in.
Okay.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board of consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Such a motion? Mm-hmm. Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 5 is in compliance as of July 17th. Case number 6CB071376, Robert B. Hume and Robert H. Hume, property located at 712 North Olive Avenue. Is the respondent present?
This case is, I'll bring it up. But this is an attorney representing Humes.
Okay.
This is the property at 712 North Wild Olive, and the inspector is Tom Klieg. And the desire, we spoke with the attorney, it was, and we do have a notice of appearance, and he's contacted our office a couple of times, Bruce Johns, and we spoke with Mr. Johns, and his desire aligns with our desire, which is that they be given to the next cutoff. They just needed some more time, and so amend to the next cutoff.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board consideration of the fine of $1,000 per day. Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 7CB071377 OPC Investments LLC, property located at 834 School Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is a property that is a rental property. It's before the board for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Vicki Langford. The staff is requesting $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000. There's still need for work to be done.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion fining a respondent $100 per day with a cap of $15,000 or until the property is brought into compliance.
Moved.
Effective today. Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 8 was in compliance as of August 7, 2013. Case number 9, CB081380, Salvatore and Linda Lomonaco, property located at 219 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a before the board for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. The property at this time is in noncompliance, and he's asking for the board to give them till the next cutoff to come into compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 10 is in compliance as of July 30th, 2013. Case number 11, CB081382, Carlos Barbeco, property located at 501 Westmoreland Road. It is a respondent present. Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Well, this is likewise a property where inspector is asking for finding of noncompliance. The property at this time is in noncompliance, and give them till next cutoff to come into compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until September 4, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081391, Lorraine Tharps, property located at 893 Derbyshire Road. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This, again, is a property where the staff had to post. This is a property where it's non-compliance, next cutoff. I will acknowledge this is an unsanitary pool and an unsecure pool, so the board may want to authorize the city to take whatever actions they deem
necessary.
Then
we'll go to a motion after that. Okay. All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any discussion?
Yes. I'm concerned about the unsecured pool.
We'll do that next.
We're going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. At this time, the chair would like to entertain a motion for authorizing the city to take whatever necessary steps to secure the pool so that it is not an imminent danger for anyone in the vicinity. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 13, CB081392, Douglas Calloway, property located at 895 Derbyshire Road. Is the respondent present? Okay. Ms. Calloway, if you come forward, please state your name for the record and be sworn in.
My name is Karen Calloway.
Okay.
I do.
Will you be testifying, sir?
Yes.
Okay, you can state your name.
Douglas Calloway, Jr.
You raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you
solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony
you're about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Calloway, we will hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Well, similar to the last case, the most compelling issue is that there is a unsanitary pool with need for enclosure. But the property right now is still in noncompliance, and so the inspector believes this can be remedied by next cutoff.
Okay, so make sure I got everything's been corrected about the pool? Junk vehicle?
No, I'm not saying that. I said that the pool was of greatest importance. But
right. Okay.
At this time, nothing has been compliance.
Well, that's correct.
Estimates to inspect
it still remains in noncompliance.
Okay. All righty. Ms. Calloway, what can you tell us, ma'am? I'm sorry. Do we acknowledge that all or some of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, they did exist.
Okay.
According to
all
right. Inspection. Yes.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. What can you tell us?
Well, we have been working on the property. The pool right now has a very, very, we just ran out of time, a very, very, very small amount of water. And we would like to know, how do we put it into compliance? Do we have to have water in there, or do we take the water out? We're not sure.
What we can do is arrange for you to, well, not arrange for you, after we finish with your item, you can speak with the code inspector.
Okay, I will.
And
like
can let
that.
You know exactly what you can do to bring the property
okay.
into compliance.
That's
so
what
that
we
you
need.
Can,
okay.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in noncompliance by our own acknowledgement, allowing the respondent until September 4th, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All righty.
Mr. Chairman, there's something on the next agenda that for some reason it does not get done. This is the pool that we go ahead and authorize the city to take action. I don't know if we want to do that today because we have somebody here. I'd rather they do it, not the city expense. But is there a way of putting that on the, if they don't do anything by the next agenda, we can put it on, do something?
It's going to be on the agenda, right?
Right, it's going to be on the agenda anyway, but I want to make sure we don't forget it.
I guess the only thought, Mr. Cino, is with being an occupied homestead, we'd probably have to take it. Well, even with the board's authorization, we'd probably have to take additional action for entry and take such an action with a being occupied homestead.
Now, let's give the city the authority today. Okay. If they have to take action, do so.
Chair will entertain a motion allowing the city to take whatever actions necessary if the respondent does not secure the pool in a timely manner. 10 days. I don't want to leave it wide open.
That's fine. 10 days, according to the inspector, seems reasonable.
10 days to secure a pool? I don't.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion allowing the respondent until next cutoff to secure the pool, or be returned, authorizing the city to take the necessary actions to secure the pool. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Bourne.
Second.
Second by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Just so you know, Ms. Calloway, what we've done is we've given you till next cutoff to bring the property in compliance, but more so with the pool, we've given you till next cutoff to secure the pool. But again, Mr. Stinson will go over with what you need to do in order to secure the pool so that it meets the city standards.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Case number CB081387, Fred Allen, property located at 345 Garden Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Page 5. Oh, 14. Oh, it's on the bottom of page 5. Okay. We have a letter, don't we? This is the case at 345 Garden Street. It's before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. I know we had been contacted by an attorney on this case as well. The inspector on the case is Mr. Garcia. We've been contacted by Juan Ross. They have informed us through the letter. Is there a copy for the board, or I can just tell you in general, the letter is informing us that they are an active foreclosure. It's a foreclosure where I believe it's uncontested or stipulated, and so they're expecting a 90 days, asking if we can continue to 90 days, so allow for that process to be completed, and then we can move forward at that time. Right. They'd say that at the conclusion of the foreclosure action, they'll come in and bring the property into compliance.
So essentially, you're asking us to find them in noncompliance, allowing them until November 6th to bring property in compliance?
Yeah, that sounds like the right thing.
Chair will entertain a motion, find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 15 is in compliance as of August 6. Case number 16, CB081389, Earl Johnson Jr., Earl Johnson Sr., property located at 201 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
No, this is before the board for compliance or noncompliance. This is the car wash there at 201 South MLK, and it's currently in noncompliance, and the inspector is recommending next cutoff for compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to September 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is such a motion?
So
motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081390, Jonah Christian. Property located at 549 Park Drive. Is the respondent present? If you come forward, sir, state your name and be sworn in.
Jonah Christian.
All right. Mr. Christian, we'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
This is the property at 549 Park Drive. The report from the inspector is that this property, none of the violations have been remedied. This property is in non-compliance, and the inspector is recommending next cutoff for the property coming to compliance.
All right. Mr. Christian, do you come forward? Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
All righty. Well, can you tell us, sir, how much time will you need to correct it?
Well, I just cut the grass. The grass has been cut. As far as the windows and everything, see, the situation with this house is this is basically a project house. I'm from the north. My kids live in Winter Springs. My kids is actually down here. So, you know, what I did was I had a little bit of, you know, funds, and I bought the property. And, you know, I figured that I would just take my time, fix it up, and eventually I would move down here to be closer to my kids. So that's why, you know, I purchased the property. I know it's kind of rough and everything, but, you know, it's a diamond in the rough to me. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. So every time I come down, I get something new done, like he said, about the front that was, you know, a mess. I took care of that. Unfortunately, I did buy some supplies for the house. And stupid me kept it in the house, and I don't have to tell you guys about the neighborhood, dear. We ain't gonna get into that.
They added more to it? They added more supplies to it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wish that was the case. But from since then, you know, I've secured the place a little bit better than before, which I should have did the first time, but I didn't. So I'm basically just doing everything kind of slowly. I have the neighbor next door is nice enough to try to keep the grass cut for me, so I have spoken to him. You know, the chip and paint, is that in the back? Was that in the back you was talking about for the chip and paint? On the back of the side. Okay, so we could probably take care of that before we leave, but... You know, like I said, it's a project house. I'm just trying to, you know, take my little bit of funds slowly, fix it up, and then eventually I can, you know, be down here and be closer to my kids. So that's the plan. Unfortunately, I don't have all the money to throw into it and do what I need to do. I wish I did, but I don't. So I have to do, like, everything slowly, bit by bit, get it to where, you know, it's decent for me to move down and do what I need to do.
Okay. Mr. Lopez, the items that were he was cited for, is that something, and again, just going off of the short version, is that something he can correct prior to his leaving?
Yes, I believe so. It could be corrected within the time frame.
Okay. Mr. Christian, if we gave you until September 4th, do you think you'd be able to bring the items that, you know, you were cited for into compliance?
As far as the windows, I'm not trying, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to do a patch job with the windows. I'm, you know, like up where I am, you know, we do have warehouses where they sell, you know. So, again, I did bring windows down for the front, which were taken out of there. But I'm going to get smarter now, and that's why I said I've been bringing things down as I come to get the place right. I'm really not feeling the patch job thing. I just don't want to throw some, you know, you get what I'm saying? It's a project house. So I want to do everything right. If I have to come down, put new windows in. Done. Come down, put a new door in. Done. Slowly but surely, and we get up to where we need to be.
The items you're mentioning, doors and windows, Mr. Lopez, was he cited for those?
I'm sorry, for the...
No, the windows, the windows, just the windows.
Broken windows, yes.
Okay. Okay, okay.
No, he's got broken windows, needs to be repaired. The awnings and the painting on the property that needs to be addressed. That, you know, within the time frame, I believe he can address that.
Okay.
We can't... The property needs to be secured. He's an out-of-state owner. The property needs to be secured. We can't have the broken windows there or the open windows where we can have vagrants inside the property.
Okay.
So what the city is asking for is the items, the windows to be taken care of, the painting, and all the items that we just stated earlier to be taken care of within the time frame, which is reasonable.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till September 4th to bring the property into compliance with the items bring the property into compliance. Any discuss? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion?
Yeah, I think that that's not giving him enough time to do those things that he needs to do. We're talking about the outside, that's all. We're not talking about fixing up the inside. So I don't know.
But, Ms. Cundy, we're also talking about the neighborhood. And if it's painting, putting in glass, and glazing, I just feel that's ample time.
Okay. The thing is that we, putting in glass, we don't want to do that. We want to make it presentable to where it looks. Because, I can just get a piece of glass and put it in, but that's not my objective with this house. My objective is to do it. I mean, if you want me to secure it to where you want me to put some wood over the windows, that's fine. But as for me trying to replace every glass in the window, it doesn't make any sense when I can just go on ahead, go, get some windows that's reasonable, bring them down, have them put in just like I've done with a couple of other things as I've been down here. So that's what I'm trying to, I'm trying to get the neighborhood, I want that to be one of the nice houses on the block, slowly but surely. I don't want to do a patch job,
that
I know it has to be done.
That is also the city's desire, Mr. Christian, and it needs to look presentable. And
I agree with you 100%.
Here, it isn't looking that way. And, the time allowed is sufficient time. Sometime you have to put a bandage to get by till you want to do what you want to do.
And we just want to encourage Mr. Christian to talk with the code enforcement officer, and they will let you know what items you're able to put a Band-Aid on so that you can bring the property in compliance. We understand fully that, you're trying to make this your next home, so certain things need to be done a certain way. But talk with the code enforcement officer, and also he can give you the information to register the house for no trespass so you don't have to worry about it.
Right, we've done that.
Okay.
We've done that, but, that doesn't stop,
He'll also tell you what permits you need in case you're probably we need them for new windows. I'm not sure, but there will be some permits required.
Okay. Yeah, if you get an opportunity, just speak with Mr. Lopez after the meeting today.
No problem.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed,
aye.
Same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. Go ahead, Ms. Hines.
Okay, and even after 9:14, if this isn't done, there's no fine or anything.
Well, it comes back to us. Noncompliance next cutoff. All righty. Thank you, sir. Definitely speak with Mr. Lopez after the meeting. All right, case number CB081383, Mr. and Mrs. Patel. Is the respondent present? You can come to the mic and state your name.
My name is Tina Torres, T-O-R-R-E-S.
And your relation to the property owner?
I am his assistant.
Okay.
T-I-N-A.
Tina, we'll hear from the city, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Just a moment. Just a little quick administrative.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready for C.
What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property
located at 816 North Grandview Avenue. It's before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspectors, Mr. Klieg, the city also has a witness that the city would like to present. Ms. Galloway, and but at this time the property is in noncompliance, and we believe that it would take the next cutoff to bring the property into compliance. I do need to bring Ms. Galloway forward, as well as Ms. Galantine, and I knew that. I'm sorry. Ms. Galantine forward, as well as the zoning officer, Ms. Miles, because this is one I think will be useful to the board for Ms. Miles to give you a little bit of explanation so you can have some clarity of what's wrong and then understand what would need to be done.
Is this a business or a apartment, or what is this property?
Yes, I was. It is a non-conforming three unit in the R1A TD zoning district. It is grandfathered in as three, however, it exceeds density by one living unit. Did you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
In 2005, actually the end of 2004, the property came forward because it was having problems with parking. Two parking spaces per living unit are required by the Land Development Code. The property would have required a parking lot to be installed in the front yard, landscaping, in-ground irrigation. However, that would be an expansion of the non-conforming use of three units. If it's two units, it can be accessed by driveways. So the property owner at the time, Mr. Patel, also owned La Quinta, which is on Atlantic Avenue, and purchased the property in the T1 zoning district directly behind or east of 816, wanted to do an off-site parking lot. He was hoping to service the hotel with it, but there's a provision in the code that requires a pedestrian overpass, which is a bit extreme for 12 parking spaces or whatever it is. So he was going to do a commercial lot. Six of those spaces were to be dedicated in perpetuity while he owned 816 to service 816 for their parking. They are not to park on the grass in the front yard. That was to be bermed per the approved site plan.
If I can, what I've handed to you is a site map, and what you can see, the property that's marked Daytona Beach there is the 816 property.
Okay.
The commercial lot that Ms. Miles references, 803, which is off of 803 North Atlantic. As you can see, the house itself is actually sitting back on a property line of 816, which that alone kind of makes it a little odd and unusual, because the property is actually parking for that property is actually on the adjacent lot, because they own both lots. For that to have occurred, they needed special approvals and special agreements, and ultimately this is what was done. And as Ms. Miles indicates, the problem now, and as Ms. Gallantown will come and testify, is that they've been going open berm on the side of the structure. They've been going along the side and parking in that open area, which is not permitted parking, which would be the frontage for the property because of the way it is on the lot.
Let me make sure I got it right. They are parking back here in the front yard.
In the front yard of 816, correct, sir.
But they got approval to park back here.
Correct.
Because the same owner owns both pieces.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so they're not supposed to be parking back here.
It's prohibited.
It's prohibited. The owner understands it. All right.
And just so you have this clear, because of the status of the property that it is a current non-conforming use, they can't expand the use, so they can't create the parking lot or pave or do anything to that would satisfy means for parking in that area, that alternative area. So the only parking that is available is the parking that they have established on 803.
Correct.
Okay. You have a witness?
Yes, and city will call Ms. Galantine.
Ms. Galantine, if you raise your right hand and be sworn in, please.
Anita Galantine.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And is that
G-A-L-L-E-N-T-I-N-E.
Okay, thank you.
My name's Anita Galantine. I live at 836 North Grandview, four properties down from 816. We've been in the neighborhood 20 years. I've been past chair of Neighborhood Watch. I sat on planning board for 8 years. So I'm very involved in the neighborhood. We try to make our neighborhood better. And I have been involved with code since 2004 when this agreement was made with Mr. Patel to build his parking lot. It's a public parking lot, although if you drove by it today, you'd see a sign that was just put up that it's a private parking lot, which will be another issue that I'm sure will come before you all. Basically, when the La Quinta, which used to be Cabana Hotel, did their beautiful landscaping and remodeling to become a La Quinta, it reduced the parking for the hotel. What's happened now is that the front of Grandview has become overflow parking for the hotel. And every weekend, especially on the weekends when our town is full, you will see up to 8 to 10 cars in the front of this property. Basically, Mr. Patel has violated every agreement that was made when it came before the planning board back in 2004 to build this parking lot. He continues to violate it. He doesn't care about this property, which is very sad. La Quinta is beautiful. Across the street is not. He doesn't care about our neighborhood, and he violates it continuously. He's been fined before. He's been before the board before. Probably the fines have never been collected. They may have been forgiven. He's used the Grandview side for trash for the hotel. He brought balconies, the metal balconies, over to the front and stripped them on the Grandview side. He uses he deposits trash from the commercial part on the Grandview side. It's continuous with Mr. Patel. I'm tired of keeping emails from 2004, and yet he continues to violate every tenet of the agreement that we had with him. So I hope you will find him.
Uh-huh. Any questions for Ms. Galantine? All right, is that it from the city?
Nothing further from the city at this time.
Ms. Torres, if you can come up, please. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations noted today existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Okay. What can you tell us, Ms. Torres?
The residents that live in that 816 North Grandview apartment building are the managers and their family for the La Quinta. We never rent that out, ever. It's always for the staffing at the La Quinta. And we have new managers, and he thought for overflow parking, because we do get very busy and we do get crowded, and parking on Beachside is an issue, and he thought that he should park the cars in order for the guests not to complain, because La Quinta has a 100% satisfaction guarantee as a brand, and so they survey the guests after they've stayed and they ask them, and then if your surveys fall below a certain mark, then your compliance falls, and then they keep a certain amount of gross income. And so our Medallia scores fall below because of parking issues. There's just not enough parking. It's an 80-room hotel, and I believe we have 70 spots, which we're in compliant and having that many spots, but we don't have enough, even though we've asked guests only to come with one car per room. So he started parking around the side of the building, and I received the notice that said that we were in violation. I called and asked him if that's what he was doing. He said yes. I asked him to stop. Did not realize that you'll see the minivan that's in this aerial shot, the minivan, that's his personal vehicle, and he has two small children, and that's the front door, so that's the way he enters and exits his residence, so that's why he pulls all the way back there. Didn't realize he was still parking his personal vehicle back there. So since then, I've asked him not to park his own personal vehicle. So there are no cars parking on the 816 Grandview part of the lot.
Okay. Any questions from staff? I mean, from the board, sorry.
Is this a continual problem?
Yes.
So we have to think about a will fine in this case?
Yeah, probably. And I apologize. This had a preparation challenge this morning on this. But I apologize. On this, probably the better announcement on this case is that the last inspection of Ms. Bechter when he went out there, that there weren't any cars. So from that perspective, it would be in compliance. And so what would be?
Non-compliance in this case.
They were not compliant at one time and then dismissed the case. Therefore, it could be a repeat violation.
Yeah, right, exactly. And in fact, that's exactly what we want. And Mr. Sino kind of touched a point that I wanted us to discuss a little bit when this is over at the discussion period of the meeting anyway. But, yeah, all we really need is a finding of non-compliance so that we'd be able to consider any future violations as repeat violations, which is really alternative language for saying what we've always called a will fine.
Okay. So you need to make a motion finding them. If they were in compliance at one time, they're in compliance now, and get the case dismissed.
Okay. Make sure I got it right, and you'll correct me, Mr. Sino. Property was in non-compliance. As of this date, it is in compliance.
The case should be dismissed.
And
I mean, nothing wrong with just saying any future violations will be subject to a fine, but that's just real statutory language.
Okay.
So it's really the same thing we've always said, what we'll find. And as I said, we'll discuss a little more at the discussion portion of this meeting.
So we don't need to say that we're going to impose a will fine?
Not really.
No, the statute allows you to do that. Fight them in non-compliance.
I'm prepared to discuss. Got it on notes right here, so we can discuss it at the discussion period if you'd like.
Currently in compliance.
Right.
Formally in non-compliance. We make a motion to find that they were at one time in non-compliance. Right. They are now in compliance, and the case will be dismissed. That allows you to go back after them again if they become a... That allows you to treat them as a repeat violation, which is the same as a will fine.
So that's nothing we need to do. We just need to make that motion.
Make that motion.
All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion. Find a respondent formerly in non-compliance, currently in compliance. Motion made by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Smart. All in favor? Any discussion?
I don't get it.
I have a question.
Okay.
We've dismissed the case. Okay. Well, let's say the officer goes out tomorrow. Says they're in non-compliance. They come back here in 30 days and they've moved all the cars for the day.
At that point, you could fine them for 30 days. Because you found them in non-compliance already. Because you found them in non-compliance, you can go back to the date until you actually find them in non-compliance and fine them retroactively.
We don't need to make that in the motion.
No, that's part of state law.
Okay. All right.
It's one of those items that was brought up at the workshop.
I remember, but it's still not clear.
Well, I will take the advice of our board attorney that we are...
Mr. Patel will be notified exactly of that.
He'll get an order reflecting what we did today.
Okay.
Which will say he's in compliance.
Right.
Formally in non-compliance.
Formally in
non-compliance.
Right. Right.
No, fine, we don't identify the fine. The fine comes up if he comes back in front of us again.
All clear? All in favor of the motion say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I'm not opposed. I don't want to vote because I don't understand it.
You have to vote.
You're abstaining?
Yeah.
You can abstain. You can vote no.
No. All right.
Vote no.
No.
Motion carries. So that you know... Ms. Torres, what we've done is we've made note that the property was in non-compliance, currently in compliance. The letter that goes to the owner will state that, letting him know that he is subject to will fines if the violation is found in the future.
And we're going to discuss this after the under our discussion.
No, we're going to discuss, Mr. Harrington. I mean,
well, Tony said we were going to bring it up.
Not this case, but just in general.
Okay.
But just let him know if it occurs in the future, it doesn't have to come to us. He was subject to a will fine.
Right.
on the spot by the inspector, if you will. All right, at case number CB081393, David N. Ayers and Evelyn Jean Ayers, property located at 226 Woodland Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson, via Mr. Klieg after your conversation? Noncompliance? All right, a chair will entertain a final respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent until September 4th to bring the property in compliance or be returned to the board consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081394, property located at 1502 Ocean Dunes Terrace, Gary and Darlene Bowie.
It's noncompliance. Attorney advised that they have a rental license that they're going to be applying for, so it should be in compliance soon.
All right.
The
next cutoff. All right. Right. Property. The chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by September 4th, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fine of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Heim, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081395, Paulette Allen, property located at 505 Wisteria Road, cited for no rental license. Same circumstance, Mr. Klieg. Same circumstance?
This property is in compliance, and the staff is asking for a finding of compliance. A finding of noncompliance for the record to establish what we would have called a will fine.
Okay. Case number, alrighty. Property is formerly in noncompliance, currently in compliance. Chair will entertain a motion finding so.
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB081396, Gregory Antinock, property located at 260 Williams Avenue. Is respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This property is a similar circumstance in that it is now in compliance, but we would like a finding of, of compliance and then finding of noncompliance and then compliance.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding that a respondent was formerly in noncompliance, currently in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Yes. What was the date on compliance?
That date was
7-3. 7-3. All right. Any other discussion? I'm sorry?
Before that, I didn't
know. Oh. On the 8-7, okay.
What did, just a question, what did he do to make it compliant? Did he remove the office from his home? Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 23, CB081397, property located at 607 Ocean Dunes Road. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is another where it is now in compliance, but we are asking for the finding.
Compliance date?
7-13.
Chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent was in noncompliance, currently in compliance as of July 3rd. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Miscellaneous business. Mr. Jackson, you have the floor.
Seems like this is something you want to talk about. And it's real funny because I didn't discuss this with Charlie, but he, I guess, had the same thought that I think we've had for a long time. I know Ms. Hartman's had this thought as well. The term and the language of will find is just something that we've been using that's not necessarily, it doesn't show up in officially in law in any way. I mean, it's there with no full, clear definition, but we use it.
Okay.
But what we really were doing was what we're doing right now. We were asking you to make a finding that a property was in noncompliance to trigger the repeat violation aspect of the statute. The repeat violation aspect of the statute says that if someone was previously found in compliance within a five-year period, then they're subject to a fine of up to $5,000, which is what y'all always were saying.
Okay.
Now I get it.
Right. Yeah, and it really fits, and it was really probably more designed when we were using that language, calling it will fine, designed for when we bring these types of cases where we have an option. Alternatively, as you see many times when we announce cases in compliance, that we did not exercise the option to make a finding. We just announced it in compliance. But when we believe that we should make a finding, we ask for a finding, and then we have it on record so that we can exercise that right of repeat when they come back in the future.
Gotcha.
I mean, the necessity or the value of explaining that to a violator, it may be valuable, and it may be useful to say, if you come back, it's up to $5,000. So, but that's something not necessary, but we can continue to do that.
It's kind of like a seven-day notice that you would give a tenant for a lease violation, that you give them 7 days to correct, and then if they do it again, they get, you know, they don't get a chance to correct.
Yeah, but the difference,
that's
kind of
idea
the idea.
Of it.
Okay. Yeah, except that's compelled by law. Same thing. The one important thing about that too to understand is when we do some of these after the fact, we'll find, like we had talked about, I think one of a recent case, or it may have been a magistrate, but whatever, when you do these after the fact, that's not on the front end with the compliance, non-compliance, what we've been finding ourselves doing is coming back and then having a proceeding to try and ask you, board, to authorize something that the statute already says occurs.
Okay.
And so that's not necessary. So it's been a long-standing practice, but it's a practice that
not
really
necessary.
Hasn't been, right, isn't necessary.
Well, good deal. Thank you for that clarification.
But it's very important because a case like this is a prime case with a repeat violation.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
When we did the pool cases where we authorized the city to go in and fix the problem, secure the pool, is that because you asked for it and we authorize it, or
we don't authorize it. What we can do under the statute is request that the city use public funds to solve the problem.
So we request,
Yeah, it's still
we
under.
We made a motion in the La Quinta case to make a request to do that.
Request to shut down?
Yeah. The pool area? I don't know.
No.
The issue on the pool is that we're asking the city commission to exercise their power to use public funds to secure the pool.
Right.
Which still recognizes that it's ultimately an administrative decision of the board unless compelled by...
Mr. Jackson, in that case, the pool is not the danger. It's the building that's the danger. In the case of the hotel, the pool is the danger in the case of those homes.
So you're saying we can only request that for pools?
No. Any kind of problem that we feel that the city can take action, like, for example, secure a home. Home is left open. We ask the city to go ahead and secure the home.
So,
yeah, I guess where there's no other provision in law. See, here the provision for what you're asking for is already established, both in building code as well as in our code, that a chief building official review and this ultimate administrative determination as to the types of things that you're asking to make a discussion for the board. And so in that regard, our perspective is, and I just want to make that clear, our perspective is that it's not a board discussion matter because the board, I mean, obviously y'all could always send letters and tell the commission you think the city should take an action. That's always the power of the board. But I think what Mr. Cena was...
Right. You just ask them to do it.
And I think one of the things Mr. Cena said, as you balance your interest in the whole process, you know, you ask yourself, well, is it of great value for me to create this compel?
So I just want to make clear, we're not authorizing anything.
No.
Ultimately, when you say that, if they don't go out there and do it, probably shouldn't bring it up, but you could. But if they don't go out there and do it, they didn't do it maybe because, you know, there was a discussion of what's the reason why it wasn't done. You know, maybe because it wasn't funding to do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they have put a plan in place and someone's working that plan.
Right.
So there may be something else that's going on.
Right.
So
authorizing or asking is basically
right.
What we're
doing. Our request really has no more authority than a citizen's
correct.
Request
right.
going to the city commission that's and correct. Say, I request that you
right.
do that.
Because it's a request
so
to
it's
spend
a matter,
public funds.
Sooner or later, well, it isn't a matter of funds. It's a matter of legal responsibility. Sooner or later, the buck stops somewhere, and that's with the commission.
Right.
We've done our job.
Right. Right. We want it
so
done. We can't. We have no control over.
We have no. No.
Can
that we are not. That we are not, or we shouldn't be suggesting some of those things because they are there. You got your head in your chief engineer on the water. I want to say, and he's told us what's to be done. And when we say do something else, isn't that a little contrary? Well, I know it has no weight.
We should not be making recommendations on what people should do with their property. They should come in compliance.
Yeah.
They tell them how to come in compliance.
Okay, the next question.
I guess even more so, a little caution when he's asking to go contrary to, I mean, and I know you want recognize that, but if it has this appearance of contrary to an expert opinion, then kind of, you know.
Okay,
and that's a caution. That's not instruction because I shouldn't be giving you all those kind of
things. But we get these expert, so-called expert opinions. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I keep hearing secure pool. Mr. Stinson, if that lady brings that pool up, you know, clean it up, bring it up to par, are we saying with secure, are you saying that she must go and enclose that?
No, she has to meet state statute. And there's a statute.
It's empty, really.
I've got to close it. Either fence, or you can put a child fence, or it could be a screen. There's
or
a whole bunch of ways you can do it.
You can just empty it. Can you just empty
that's
it?
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Well, you can.
But you have to put something on top.
Whether there's water or not.
Right. Security pool is different from the water problem. Yeah, the fact that the water is green or black or whatever the color of the water is. If the water is blue, it still has to be secure.
Right. First is always secure when it's the realtor.
The realtor was
always
the double fence. The house had a pool enclosure, plus there was a child interior fence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
any person who's
right.
not a child
walking to the,
right.
the screen enclosure, they can walk around.
For example, Volusia County has thousands of dollars set aside in their budget to secure pools.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What they do is they go ahead and they have a contract goes and puts boards on top of the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And closes it so you cannot go in. Whether it's water or not makes no difference.
Right.
Because it's the idea of not getting somebody drowning in that pool.
Right.
As opposed
right.
to the pool being not stinking or,
unrelated. And I just had one other point. It's nothing of major. I wasn't paying close enough attention when Charlie was mentioning the receipt of the letters, but just that I didn't know if he had said that, recognized that is a public record when they send something to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's a public record, we have to retain it. So that's a retainage issue.
Right, everything.
I mean, our home is public record.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
so
sometimes you may get something that's offensive and you want to toss it, but it's public record, so kind of bring it in and let us deal with it. Let's go ahead and...
Okay.
Be stuck with it. They may come 2 weeks later, ask for it, and then go after us for not having a public record.
Okay, but for instance, now I have the same letter that everybody got, I guess.
Not everyone. She didn't give me
one. All right, that a few people got, but it's not a case before us.
Turn it in. Protect yourself.
Yes, it's still a public record.
I mean, I have it.
Just protect yourself.
And I would presume they're unique by your name on it or something. So, I mean, if it was an exact duplicate, but that may be something you want us to decide by just making sure you bring it in.
Any other?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The horse isn't dead, in my opinion. You talk about a public, an expert. And the expert says such.
Shouldn't start that, should I?
Then we ask somebody else, the defendant, to come up there with their expert. So we are placed in the position of telling them.
Yeah, you are finders of fact. You're correct.
No, because our head will say they have to get an engineer's report.
Right.
Yeah. Ultimately, you guys still are the finders of fact.
But basically, our lead is city.
Our lead is city.
We can change that. I'm very aware that we can change what a lot of things that be whatever
sense and put to us, we can change it.
Right.
I am aware of that. But when it comes to something that for the engineer, I think that the city engineer and whoever he get, that's their bail.
I guess that's a finder fact, if I can say, and your point's well taken. But the point you're really making is when you have competing experts. I mean, if you don't have any other experts speaking, then you may,
That's what we have today, competing experts. Okay. One says, I think you can get this work done within the city. The other one says, no, we can't.
But we gave him what he wanted.
So what I'm saying is we do make that judgment.
Yeah, I understand.
And even at the workshop, at the code workshop, they said that we aren't to consider, well, I agree, but there were some interesting things said there, that we aren't to consider code enforcement necessarily experts or, that we are to make up our own mind. It didn't, which I've always said, what's code want to do and what's code think?
If it's our ultimate decision.
Right, but it's our ultimate decision.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other items?
I'd like to be the last one. I make a motion to adjourn.
It's the best motion you've ever made.
All right, seeing there nothing further, this meeting is adjourned. Lunch.